Trusted source of information.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Welcome to the first August edition of the show, and I'm happy to be here for the next couple days to help you get the new month off on the right foot. Now, speaking of the right foot, a quick news item out of the soccer world. One of today's trending social media topics on the continent featured young Nigerian striker Victor Osimhen, who just passed his medical tests and signed a transfer deal to move from Belgium's professional league to the top league in France, where he'll be joining Lille. Osimhen's deal is for 5 years. A nice long-term contract he earned after scoring 20 times in Belgium last year. Osimhen is one of a number of Nigerian stars who have come to play for Lille in France, including Peter Odemwingie, who scored 23 goals for Lille in the early 2000s over three seasons, and goalkeeper Vincent Inyama, who's played for Lille the majority of the last decade, making 118 appearances. Osimhen told Lille's website he is excited to join what he called a high-quality project that includes high-class players. He also said, and I quote, "Great Nigerian players have also played here. I would like to join their lineage and follow their footsteps. I'm very happy to be here and to join this great club. I'm still young, I'm still learning, and I think that this project suits me perfectly to continue to progress." Victor was a member of the Super Eagles squad for the Africa Cup of Nations in Egypt, where he helped the team win a bronze medal. Here on the Sunny Side of Sports, we offer Victor a salute and wish him luck as he moves on to the next stage of his professional career. Continuing on with soccer for a moment, some more news coming out of FIFA. After the Women's World Cup in France was so successful earlier this summer, the sports governing body announced that it'll increase the number of teams for the next Women's World Cup to 32, which means 8 more teams will have a chance to take the world stage. Now, we don't know where that tournament will be played yet. The announcement isn't expected to come until next May. But some of the countries in consideration include Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Japan, New Zealand, and a joint bid by North and South Korea. So while this means 8 countries will have the chance to see their women play on the big stage in 4 years, it also likely means, now remember everybody talked about the United States blowout win over Thailand, we might see some more controversial early round blowouts. The next tournament will feature 8 groups of 4 teams, and there's no doubt the expanded table will be a boon for some of the up-and-coming African women's teams. Speaking of women's sports in Africa, my VOA colleague Isha Sarai has this report on the way the Women's National Basketball Association here in the United States is trying to encourage young women around Africa to pick up basketball. Basketball Without Borders, a program sponsored by the NBA, has been coaching and scouting young basketball players across Africa for 17 years. But former WNBA stars coaching 20 girls in the program say the prospects for their female basketball players are equally bright. Isha Sarai reports from Dakar, Senegal.
For one intense week, 40 boys and 20 girls from 29 African countries were chosen for a highly selective program to train with current and former NBA and WNBA players. One of the participants, 16-year-old Iris from Gabon, says she has loved the experience. Iris says the experience has been enriching and has helped to renew her enthusiasm to keep going and become someone in the world of basketball. The coaches and mentors are helping these young players through drills and matches, but also serving as role models of what they can become. One such role model is Astou Ndiaye, originally from Senegal. Ndiaye played for the Detroit Shock, which won the 2003 WNBA championship.
We have walked the path that they want to walk. So just being here, being able to talk to them, answer their questions, and really give them hopefully the confidence they need to know that if we can do it, they can, because there is a path for them.
Ndiaye has been coaching young women in the Basketball Without Borders program for years, and her mentees this year, like Vanessa, say they're honored to be working with her. Vanessa, a 16-year-old player from Cameroon, says that WNBA players like Ndiaye are the reason that she has really applied herself in basketball and believes that one day she can succeed. And organizers say that promoting young female players on the continent is just as important to them as working with the boys. Amadou Gallo Fall, NBA Africa's managing director, says he is equally focused on the program for girls and boys.
Our primary mission and goal at NBA Africa when we launched was to really increase participation in our sport. So you cannot do that by ignoring more than half the population. So I think over the years we've seen tremendous progress in the women's game.
Ndiaye and other female coaches say that in part due to programs like these, the future for girls in basketball across the continent is bright.
It's getting better. If we remember, we were pioneers then, and the salaries, all the benefits and advantages that the kids are getting now, unbelievable. So it can only get better.
The 20 girls chosen for this program say they are returning home not only with hope for their own futures in basketball, but to share their experiences with their communities and inspire other girls to pursue their dreams. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Dakar.
Thank you, Isha. We heard from Amadou Gallo Fall in Isha's report, and Amadou has been named the first president of the Basketball Africa League, which is scheduled to begin play in January 2020. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. After this VOA programming note, we'll be back with a recap of the week that was in sports, along with a look at the significance of the ongoing tennis tournament here in Washington, D.C., the City Open.
It's the weekend, and that means another new and exciting episode of Music Time in Africa. Hi there, I'm Heather Maxwell. I've got two Africa Cup of Nations favorites from Madagascar and Nigeria, new reggae, Afropop, an oldie but funky hit from Sudan, and two live guest appearances, Rayvanny and Oran Etkin.
In my tribe, like, every name has to start with moi. So moi
Maxwell.
I was 19 years old. I went to Mali and spent a lot of time there. And
you'll also meet Jacob Mafuleni and Martha Tom. They're keeping music traditions alive. Find out how and enjoy live marimba and mbira music at the same time.
We play using our thumbs.
Listen to Music Time in Africa, 1505 and 20500 Universal Time.
We're back here on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sunny. We're joined now by VOA's Jim Stevenson, who has a recap of the recently completed Tour de France. Now, I've got plans for a bike ride later today. I can't imagine going for 3 weeks consecutively. Jim also has some golf and tennis news. You can find Jim's podcast each week at voanews.com. Welcome to the show, Jim.
After three tough weeks cycling through France, Egan Bernal became the first Colombian winner of the Tour de France. The tour was marked by high drama, including sharp weather swings and a crushing defeat for the French. Bernal says he came close to defeat after a disappointing time trial performance on this year's Stage 13 time trial.
Un nouveau coup de tonnerre sur ce Tour de France.
I almost lost it on that stage. I have to work very hard on the time trials, but I lost a lot of time.
Et de figer l'étang au sommet de l'Isran.
The riders endured some extreme weather this year, including soaring temperatures and a massive hailstorm that triggered mudslides. In what was called the highest tour in history, the new 22-year-old tour champion also acknowledged his high-altitude background gave him what he described as a bit of an advantage.
I live in Colombia at 2,600 meters, so when we're up high in the mountains, I feel much better than in the first part of the climbs. I'm a climber, and when we're going up more and more, it's better. I don't know if it's a coincidence, but for sure it's an advantage.
It seemed like this year's tour would finally bring France its first victory in more than three decades. But late last week, French favorite Juliette Alaphilippe slid behind. Bernal rode on to victory with the final processional stage in Paris. The 22-year-old was mobbed by his team Ineos riders and delirious Colombian fans who had flooded the City of Lights to celebrate Bernal's win in the world's most famous bicycle race. Bicycle, bicycle.
It was a really awesome day. I made a bunch of putts today and avoided making bogeys or worse earlier on and just caught a couple at the end of the day.
German golf great Bernhard Langer won a record fourth Senior British Open Sunday at the Royal Lytham and St. Anne's Golf Club in Lancashire, England, by finishing 6-under for the tournament, beating out Paul Broadhurst of England by 2 strokes in poor weather.
The conditions were not very nice to play golf in, to say the least, you know, just hold an umbrella most of the time. Actually, we started off a few holes without the rain, but then it came down again. So we're very fortunate to finish the tournament, period, the way the weather's been the last two rounds.
The 61-year-old Langer entered Sunday 3 shots behind Broadhurst, who went on to shoot 1 over par on his round and dropped a 4-under overall.
You try and win, but if you can't win, you try and finish second.
Broadhurst still felt he played well.
Made some really good shots in some pretty poor conditions.
Broadhurst was impressed as Langer carded 4 birdies on the front nine to make the turn at 4 under par for the day and 6 under for the tournament.
To lose to Bernhard, he's the king of the senior tour, so, you know, a little bit disappointed, obviously not to win, but, you know, to finish second, I can go home pretty happy.
The 2-time Masters champion got as low as 8 under par before slipping a bit and got to make his cherished walk to the final green.
It's always special to walk down 18 in a major, but especially over here, the people are so knowledgeable about golf, and it's tremendous how they even came out in these conditions and cheered us on in the rain. So it feels very special to, you know, whether it's the Open or the Senior Open, to walk down 18 is always a wonderful feeling.
Langer surpasses American Tom Watson and South African Gary Player as the only golfer to have ever won 4 Senior British Open titles in his career. Langer's most recent Senior British Open title and Senior Major victory came 2 years ago. He now has 11 Senior Major championships.
There's nobody in the game so far has won more than 9, and this is my 11th, so it's means a great deal to have done something that nobody else has done, not even the great Jack Nicklaus or Gary Player, or we can go down a long list, you know, Tom Watson's and on and on.
At this point, it's the right decision to make.
Tom Watson is retiring from professional golf.
Ending my career here was a planned event, and I'm really happy that now it's often doing something a little bit different in my life.
Watson shot a 3 over par 73 Sunday to finish the Senior British Open, tied for 64th at 9 over par. While it wasn't a successful weekend for the 3-time Senior British Open winner, Watson recalled his fondest golf memory.
I guess the best memory is I go back to when I was 14 years old and I win the Kansas City Men's Match Play. The next year, my mom got a call. He wanted to play with Arnold Palmer. Then a couple of years later, I got a call. Jack Nicklaus was going to do an exhibition. I got a chance to play with Jack. that gave me the dream. That tournament, by winning it, gave me the opportunity to play with those players and think that maybe someday I could be a professional golfer.
And for young players now,
I just hope that they play the game as hard as I do. There are three things in life you do. You do the right thing, and you give it your best in every shot that you play, or all the things you do in life. And along the way, you help people. You help people who can't help themselves.
Watson never won a senior U.S. Open in his career, but he did win the 1982 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. He also won two Masters titles in 1977 and 1981, and most notably, five British Open titles during his Hall of Fame career.
Life is just full of passages. I've passed through my career here, starting in 1975 to here in 2019. Yeah, that's amazing. I look back at it and I say, man, that's a lot of golf.
Nicolas Basilashvili of Georgia scored back-to-back titles at the German Open tennis tournament in Hamburg.
It means a lot. It's definitely for the confidence. It's, after Wimbledon, I took a bit rest, so that maybe paid off also. I was fresh and really happy that I got my third ATP-5 titles. It means a lot to me, for sure.
Basilashvili defeated Andrei Rublev 7-5, 4-6, 6-3, and was impressed with a 21-year-old Russian's play.
He's playing really good tennis. I don't know if he was fully relaxed today or he was a bit tight or something, but I think he's going to play very good tennis just in general.
Will Basilashvili go for three German Open titles in a row?
And next year I'll come back for sure.
The hard court tennis season is opening for many players at the City Open in Washington, D.C., a favorite stop for Daniil Medvedev of Russia.
I love it here. It's the first tournament in U.S. swing for me because I don't go to Atlanta at this moment. I haven't been there. I like the city, which is the most important. First time I came here, I was a bit surprised because it's kind of unusual American city without, the skyscrapers and stuff. And I like it here. Usually I play good tennis here, so I'm looking forward to this tournament.
It's an event known for oppressive heat and humidity.
Yeah, last 2 years that I've played, the humidity was just crazy. It was, I think, the toughest one I've played in, together with Bangkok. I have been playing some challengers there.
American John Isner has many great memories at the tournament.
The one that still sticks out with me is the one that happened 12 years ago in 2007. Right out of college, I made the final of this event pretty much out of nowhere. So this is really where my pro career started.
He lost in that final to American compatriot Andy Roddick and still has unfinished business.
I've never won it. I've been close. And each year I keep coming back hoping that, this year might be different. But as we know, this tournament is so tough. And I just consider myself fortunate that I've been able to come to this event for so many years.
Isner says the City Open has always been a favorite tournament for the fans who haven't seen an American champion there since Roddick in 2007.
Tennis fans in the D.C. area are very passionate, and they've been fortunate to see so many great players compete and win this tournament throughout the years, and Americans and non-Americans. And as you mentioned, hasn't been an American in quite some time. So I do think if one of us were to break through, it could inspire a lot of future tennis players to want to be professional and want to compete in this event when they are pro.
One of the foreign favorites is Greek Stefanos Tsitsipas, who thrilled fans last year with an amazing volley shot that he may use again.
That was my signature shot. I did it in that match. I didn't find any other solution to that shot, so I went for it. I don't really have it on a priority list, but if it comes up, I'll have to do it in order to win the point.
While he was defeated in the semifinals last year, Tsitsipas is this year's top seed among many good young opponents.
Competition is at its highest, many young players. It's exciting. I like this competition. Every player here is good. I mean, you won't find anyone who doesn't know how to play tennis.
Tsitsipas and many of his colleagues especially enjoy the road to the U.S. Open, beginning in Washington.
Playing in different cities, exciting places to be, Montreal, Cincinnati here, New York. I mean, so many nice locations to play tennis and so many opportunities for the fans to come and watch. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's Jim Stevenson's The Game Room, available each week, midweek, at voanews.com. Speaking of the City Open, and yes, I can say for a fact, it is hot and humid here in Washington, D.C. I wanted to update you on how some of the players mentioned in Jim's report are doing this week. Medvedev, who we just heard from, talking about how much he likes visiting Washington. He'll play Francis Tiafo later on Thursday. He had a bye into the second round of the tournament and won his opening match against American Bjorn Frantangelo, 6-3, 6-4. John Isner, who is now a veteran player after having made the tournament's finals in his first year way back in 2007, he'll be facing Frenchman Benoit Paire early on Thursday night. And Tsitsipas will play Australian Jordan Thompson. The nightcap for the men's matches will feature Australian Nick Kyrgios against Japan's Yoshi Nishioka. We'll update you on those matches and on the women's side of the tournament on Friday's show. Let's continue now with some more sports news from here in the United States. We don't talk about baseball that much on the sunny side of sports, aside from the first week of the season and during some of the playoffs and World Series games in October. But we've reached a key tipping point for the 2019 season as we move into August. Let me tell you why. The teams have all played about 110 games, and there are about 50 to go. Yes, that's right. Major League Baseball teams play 162 games each year, and sometimes that's not even enough to decide who makes the playoffs. Five teams in each league make the playoffs, the three division winners plus the two wildcard teams who have to play each other to face their league's number one team. So right now, the top teams in baseball are, no surprise, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who narrowly lost in the World Series last year to the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, the Houston Astros, and the Minnesota Twins. Yesterday, the trade deadline came and went, and there were a lot of moves. I'm not going to run down all of them, but the Houston Astros, who already have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball, got one of the best pitchers in the game, Zach Greinke, from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, some say that the Astros are now the World Series favorites. Here's what Greinke's old manager, Torey Lovullo, had to say about losing his player in the trade.
He took it right in stride and was okay. You know, he said some nice things, very complimentary things of this organization. And then in typical Zach fashion, he asked some questions and he was ready to move on. He's had situations like this before, I know, and you're conditioned to it, even though it's tough. And I'm sure he's going to be dealing with some of the circumstances that are surrounding today's craziness. He's going to go and pitch very well for that club.
That's Torey Lovullo of the Arizona Diamondbacks talking about Zach Greinke. As the minutes were counting down to the deadline on Wednesday, two teams with playoff hopes, the local Washington Nationals and the Atlanta Braves, were on the field. I was at the game too. Here's what happened. Craig Heist of the Associated Press has this report.
Josh Donaldson homered in the top of the 10th inning off Sean Doolittle as the Braves beat the Nationals 5-4, taking 2 of 3 in their series. Adam Duvall homered in the second off Anibal Sanchez, giving him 4 homers and 6 RBI in 5 games since being called up from the minors. Donaldson and the Braves now lead the Nats by 6.5 games in the NL East.
Just as quality as they are, our team is just as good. And we know that we have the capability to go out there and win each and every day. And we're getting production, not just from one or two guys, but throughout this entire locker room.
Juan Soto and Matt Adams homered for the Nationals, while Sean Newcomb got the win in relief. Craig Heist, Washington.
Thanks, Craig. Now, that game featured a number of relief pitchers who struggled to get key outs. So guess what? Each team in that game made trades for new pitchers. We'll see how that shakes out by the end of September as the last game of the season is on September 29th. And that wraps up the August 1st edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer this evening, Nadia Taha. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Had a tough week? Need to relax or recharge? Well, this Sunday, let the sweet sound of African music restore and revive you. All my ladies, hi everyone, I'm Heather Maxwell. Inside this edition of Music Time in Africa, get a taste of what Afrofest and Midafrique, Canada's biggest African music festivals, are gonna sound like this month. I've got music by some of the biggest headliners. There's also traditional music, vintage sounds from the new MTIA archive, and a hot rhythm that's firing up the Black Stars of Ghana football team and its fans at the Africa Cup of Nations. You just gotta tune in this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15:05 and 20:05 UTC. Relax, recharge on Music Time in Africa.
Algerian President Abdelaziz Bouteflika resigned nearly 3 months ago. Algerians still yearn for fundamental systemic change. What will the future of Algeria look like? And what are the impediments to a more stable and prosperous Libya? Thomas Hill, Senior Program Officer for North Africa at USIP, joins host Carol Castiel and Jeffrey Young for an update on Algeria and Libya. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with the Prime Minister of Buganda, Charles Maiga. Buganda is the largest, most influential kingdom in Uganda. Buganda and the future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is Peter Clotty, host of VOA's Africa Weekend show, Nightline Africa. Tune in. You will be glad you did.
Nightline Africa is a fast-paced, tightly edited news show designed to keep our listeners engaged from beginning to end. Nightline comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, Africa. This is Peter Clotty, host of VOA's Africa Weekend Show, Nightline Africa. Tune in. You will be glad you did.
Nightline Africa is a fast-paced, tightly edited news show designed to keep our listeners engaged from beginning to end. Nightline comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequency.
This is VOA News. I'm Jim